This is Rabbi Sharon Brous, Rabbi at Ikar, where we're dedicated to reinvigorating Jewish community, ritual, and learning, all while laying the foundation for a just and loving society. You're listening to Ikar's podcast, where you can hear our sermons from Shabbat and holidays, our teachings, our guest speakers, basically anything we think worth hearing that we can capture and stream, you can listen to right here. The whole Megillah. I mean, literally, the whole Megillah. So thank you so much for being with us.
Shabbat Shalom. I spent a fair amount of my childhood in a place where it felt like it was winter more of the year than it was anything else. Starting in October and through April, the sun was rarely visible. It was a slog. Gray skies, gray skies, gray skies, an occasional unexpected hour of sun, and then back to gray. All the Midwesterners out here, I see you. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I see you nodding your heads. I know I'm not alone in this room. Then, of course, you get a couple days where it seems like it's going to be okay. It gets warm, you think you're in the clear, just to be hit by an inevitable and yet somehow always shocking snowstorm in April. In my family growing up, we had a lot of rituals, many Jewish, many not, and one of them was a spring ritual. Though, as I mentioned, you could never be sure that spring had arrived until at least May 1st. This ritual was called Signs of Spring. Every year, when it felt way too early to declare it spring, my mom would gather my sister and me after school and take us on a tour of the garden to point out everything. My mom has always been a gardener, an aspiring farmer, we call her Farmer Susan, and a teacher. So this Signs of Spring ritual was really perfect for her. She would point out to us every single shoot of a plant or a sprout or a green thing that was coming up from the seemingly still brown and very tough ground. Usually, some of the first things to shoot up were daffodils or maybe an occasional hyacinth. It always felt impossible that spring was arriving given how long we had been in this amorphous gray time. My mom would exclaim at every find, and we, my sister and I, especially when we were teenagers, would roll our eyes and look around for any other distraction and hope that the tour would end quickly. But no matter what, we did it. We find ourselves today on Shabbat HaChodesh, the third of four special Shabbatot leading up to Pesach, this one named for the fact that this week on Tuesday is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the new Hebrew month of Nisan. We just did the blessing for it. This is the month where we celebrate Pesach. Nisan has arrived, and with it, in many ways, spring. A beginning of sorts, a shooting up of the first sprouts from the ground. Our rabbis have many debates about Nisan and where it falls in the cycle of the year, about what kind of beginning it is. As we understand it in contemporary times, we think of Rosh Hashanah and the month of Tishrei as being the beginning of the year. It is called Rosh Hashanah, head of the year, after all. But that isn't the end of the story. We learn in the Mishnah that there are four new years for the kings and festivals, for tithing, for the year, and for the trees. And then there's a further debate about which is actually the real start of the year, which in this case is actually about when the world was created, which stands in here for the idea of the year starting. And the question is it Nisan or is it Tishrei? In the discussion in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua disagree. Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Tishrei nivra ha'olam," the world was created in Tishrei, and Rabbi Yehoshua says, "B'Nisan nivra ha'olam," the world was created in Nisan. They go back and forth for a while, and like so many Talmudic arguments, it doesn't have a solution. It doesn't get resolved. We just have these two opinions. But then we see later in the commentary of the Tosafot, Rashi's grandsons, that there's another take on it. They bring Rabbeinu Tam into the conversation, and he says, both of them are right. Or more famously, in Hebrew, Elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim, these and these are both the word of the living God, a famous phrase from another Talmudic dispute. But how can that be? How can Tishrei, 6 months ago, be the beginning of the year, and then this week, the month of Nisan, also the beginning of the year? Well, they explain, Devet Tishrei ala b'machshava livraot ve'lo nivra ad Nisan. In Tishrei, God had the idea of creating the world, but God didn't create the world until Nisan. God started it in Tishrei, but didn't complete it until Nisan. Creation, we are being told clearly, is a process. It's not a simple snap of the fingers, even for God. It takes time. It takes patience. What is planted has to have time to grow before it can be harvested. It cannot be rushed. Some of our rabbis explain that this is how the year still goes for us in modern times. At Rosh Hashanah, in Tishrei, we start to think, we plant seeds, we plan, and then in Nisan, we act. We reap the rewards of our fields, we take stock. Tishrei is for thinking, Nisan is for acting. Nisan being the month of action is not surprising at all to those of us astrologically inclined Jews like Ibn Ezra or me, because this is Aries season. Fire, fury, fast action, moving, moving, moving. This is the beginning, or at least it's sort of a beginning. But how do we mark beginnings? Is it from the thought, or the first step, or the end, or the completion, or the whole action itself? Yes, all of it. All of it is a process. No beginning is in isolation. Even on our signs of spring walks, those early daffodil shoots were an indicator of a process that had been taking place for a long time before. They didn't come from nothing. Underneath the hard ground, snow, slush, ice, and rain, those daffodils were dormant and resting, and then slowly, slowly, they started to grow again. And though much of that was not visible to our eye, the process was underway. That part just as critical as the above ground part. Signs of spring always felt like a beginning, but it was also a reminder that the beginning had come long before, that maybe, as Rabbeinu Tam offers, it was both. In addition to Rosh Chodesh Nisan this week, we get another reminder in today's Maftir Torah reading of what it means to mark a beginning. In the Maftir, which comes from Exodus, we read about the first instance of Rosh Chodesh, of the new month. In the first two verses, we read that God told Moses and Aaron, HaChodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim rishon hu lachem lachodshei hashana. This month will be for you the beginning of the months. It will be the first month of the year for you. As many of you know, this is also the first mitzvah, the first commandment, given to the Israelite people as a whole. There have been others along the way given to individuals, but here we get the first to the people. Rosh Chodesh, the new month. Jewish time, such a sacred thing that it's the first mitzvah. A new beginning, the moment when we became a people, the first shoots of the daffodil in March. But like the daffodil and the crops and the creation of the world, that isn't all. It isn't that simple. In this case, we get this commandment in medias res. It comes in the middle of the 10 plagues when we are struggling to get out of Egypt. It comes right after the 9th plague and the introduction to the 10th and final one. We get the setup for this last plague, and then with no warning, seemingly out of nowhere, Rosh Chodesh, peoplehood, a new month. Is that really the beginning? It doesn't seem that way. It seems like maybe the plagues and the fight for freedom from Egypt, that was the beginning, or at least that set the stage for the peoplehood that was on its way. All of the Exodus story and the plagues are like the roots and plants growing underground, this very active piece of the story before we see these sprouts much later. And this cycle still continues, the beginnings that always come in the middle of other things. Then, in the middle of the Exodus story, and now, as we're here together looking ahead to Rosh Chodesh in 3 days. This is a chance for us both to look backward and forward, to see what it is that we may have planted in Tishrei at Rosh Hashanah as we stood looking out at the new year, and how we may be able to start to harvest now, 6 months later, how we may be able to see how our preparations and ideas and commitments are playing out, are coming to fruition. But some seeds are the ones we planted, and some are ones that were outside of our control, seeds that blew onto our fields and started growing nonetheless. And so maybe it feels impossible to see anything right now except for a world that looks a lot different than we expected it to look 6 months ago, a field overgrown with seeds we never planted. If so, then just focusing on what we may have planted that is blossoming now feels troublesome. Maybe instead then we can just look out at what is growing, whether we planted it or not, examine it, explore it, wonder about it. Where did it start? When did it begin? Where is it going? What have we learned these last 6 months since Tishrei? About the world, but also about ourselves. Well, how are we different than we were? Whether a product of our own careful planting and cultivating, or from the unexpected and unprecedented external changes to our fields. Regardless of where we find ourselves in this moment, we are both looking backward and forward, toward what has been growing for months now, and also toward what is just starting anew. The rabbis have shown us that we are always doing both. A beginning is never only that. And also they have taught us that it can continually be a time to start again, to start something, to begin, to reinvest, to grow, to plant, to imagine, to slow down and deliberately foster something for ourselves, something that, like creation, will take time, something that will require patience and grace and understanding for ourselves, but still a start. We may not see the growth for a long time, but we will know that it is underway. In fact, the 16th century Kabbalist Rabbi Isaac Luria actually believed that this moment, the month of Nisan, is especially inclined toward beginnings. Seeds are not always planted in Tishrei and sprouted now. There's another way. He teaches us that the first 12 days of Nisan are a time when we can connect to each of the 12 months, one every day, and have the opportunity to set our intentions for each month, that we get 12 chances, starting on Tuesday, to plant again, that this Nisan is a chance at a new beginning, a chance for reconnection to Jewish time and a belonging to a people, and a chance for reconnection to ourselves, a reminder that all things take time, especially good things. What is it that we might plant now? Maybe something we couldn't have even seen 6 months ago or imagined, something that needed these 6 months before we could really grasp it. Or maybe something that we almost planted but held back, feeling like we weren't quite ready to begin. Maybe now we can. 3 weeks ago, I got a text from my mom. Four pictures of green shoots coming out from the seemingly brown and hard ground underneath the snow, slush, ice, and rain. There they were, the daffodils, coming up again. Signs of spring still alive and well. It's time to begin. Shabbat Shalom.
Hi, it's Rabbi Brous again. Thank you so much for listening. Want more content like this? I hope you'll subscribe. And please consider making a contribution to IKAR so we can continue to work toward the fulfillment of our mission to reanimate Jewish life, to embody moral courage, to nurture the spirit, and to work to decipher what it means to be a human being in the world today. Visit our website at IKAR.org. That's IKAR.org. And I hope to see you, maybe even in person, sometime soon.